In this edition of Global Print, I would like to take a small detour and not talk about India's foreign policy, but about one of India's most interesting relationships, Pakistan. But before I go there, dear viewer, I would like to make an appeal. Please do subscribe to The Print. You know that we are not behind a paywall. You know that we invest in our journalists, in our journalism. We bring to you the most interesting stories from across the country, whether in politics, foreign affairs, economics, on almost every aspect of life around us. And to do that, we will count on you, we do count on you and on your support. So you will find subscription links both for foreign subscribers as well as for Indian subscribers in the description of this video. So please do support us. We are counting on you. And back to Pakistan. Now, you may ask, why is it that Indians should be interested in this neighboring country, considering it has done India so much damage? It has invaded India and Jammu and Kashmir during Kargil. This was in 1999, 20 or 21 years ago. It continues to undertake cross-border terrorism, proxy war. It messes around in Jammu and Kashmir. There's nothing good about it. There's nothing right about it. And I would agree with all of that. And yet, I would say that because India and Pakistan have such a fractious relationship, because the Modi government right now actually has almost no conversation happening with Pakistan. The diplomatic relationship is almost zero. We don't even have a high commissioner in Pakistan. And because of all these reasons, we must know what's happening inside that country. If you shut your eyes and you shut your ears and you don't know what's going on because you're so angry with that country, then actually you're not doing yourself any justice. So you must be informed. You must know what's going on, the relationships that Pakistan has, not just with India and the damage that it tries to do to India, but also with its other neighbors like Afghanistan or big powers like the US, with Russia. With China, it's very important, the all-important relationship between Pakistan and China. So in this particular edition of Global Print, I will talk to you about what's happening inside Pakistan, a little bit, a sliver. I'll give you a flavor, if you like, of Pakistani politics. Now, over the last few days, precisely on Sunday night and on 2 days before that, on last Friday night, the Pakistani Democratic Movement, which is a recently formed coalition of opposition parties across the Pakistani spectrum, whether it's the Pakistan Muslim League led by Nawaz Sharif, who is in exile in London, his daughter Maryam Nawaz Sharif is the one who's leading the party in Pakistan. Then there is the Pakistan People's Party that was once led by Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, then his daughter Benazir Bhutto, and now Benazir and Asif Ali Zardari's son, Bilawal Bhutto Zardari, leads the PPP. Then you have the Baloch National Party. You have the Pakhtun Tahaffuz Movement, the PTM, that's led by Mohsen Dawar. You have a plethora of Pakistani opposition parties, and they have come together to create what is called the Pakistan Democratic Movement, the PDM. So last Friday in Gujranwala, which is a small town just outside Lahore, there was this big Jalsa, they call it Jalsa in Urdu, which is a big, big rally that was held in Gujranwala. And the stadium there was packed to the gills. And guess why? Because Nawaz Sharif, who had been ousted legitimately, I may add, in the 2018 elections that were held in Pakistan when Imran Khan came to power. But as it turns out now, Nawaz Sharif is accusing the Pakistani army of ousting him through the election process. So Nawaz Sharif was in a video call from London, where he is in exile right now, and he made this very, very scathing attack upon the Pakistani army and its intelligence agency, the ISI. Now remember, just a little bit of history. In 1999, when the Kargil war or the Kargil conflict took place, Nawaz Sharif was then prime minister in Pakistan as well. It was in February 1999, when Atal Bihari Vajpayee was Prime Minister of India, that the famous, the historic Lahore Bus Yatra from Amritsar to Lahore, it's a very short journey, took place, Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee was in that bus. He was received very, very warmly by Nawaz Sharif. But 3 months later, there was this Kargil war, then masterminded by then Pakistan's army chief, Parvez Musharraf, and, you know, he becomes president later on. But before he does, he throws Nawaz Sharif, he ties him up and puts him into jail. Now, once again, in 2018, some things don't change in Pakistan. So 19 long years later, Nawaz Sharif is ousted once again by the Pakistani military. But this time, the Pakistani military is a little bit smarter. So it doesn't do it as openly as that. It doesn't oust Nawaz Sharif, but it uses the election process to tilt the election in favor of Imran Khan. Now, remember, I am not saying any of this. This is what Nawaz Sharif said over this video at the Gujranwala rally. He's in London, the people of Pakistan, there's like thousands and thousands of people, supporters of the Nawaz Sharif party. Bilawal Bhutto was there. Fazlur Rahman, who belongs to this very right-wing Islamist party, his supporters were there, and so were several other thousands of people. So Nawaz Sharif names the Pakistani army chief, General Qamar Javed Bajwa. He names the Pakistani ISI chief, General Faiz Hamid, and he says these men and their ilk are responsible for the state of the terrible state in which the nation is today. Now, this was a real shock because the Pakistan army is hugely powerful. It is not just powerful in terms of national security issues. It controls the relationship with India. It controls the relationship with Afghanistan, with the other big power, with America. But even inside the country, it has cast its wide net across the country, and it is beginning to expand its influence in areas like the economy, for example. So just another aside to my description of what's happening inside Pakistan is that the economy is in very, very poor shape. Pakistan has had to borrow about $22 billion from friendly Islamic countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE. Also, its best friend, China, has lent it $6 billion or so, and other international monetary institutions. Now, the economy is in really poor shape, but guess what? The Pakistan Army's Fauji Foundation is not just expanding its influence in a wide variety of Pakistani civilian life. The military wants more and more money spent on it. So on the one hand, you have Pakistan that's importing tomatoes, wheat, sugar. And on the other hand, the Pakistani military is demanding that much more money is spent on its modernization and buying more weaponry. So here you had Nawaz Sharif in this very scathing attack against the Pakistani army over video, and the crowd erupts in raptures. 2 days later, on Sunday night, in Karachi, in the Bagh-e-Jinnah, which is this huge ground in the shadow of the mausoleum of Pakistan's founding father, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, was this huge rally again. It's called a jalsa. They call it a jalsa in Urdu. So the hero of that evening in Karachi was Bilawal Bhutto Zardari, because the PPP, that's his party, the heart of the PPP belongs to Sindh, and especially to its capital, Karachi. So again, you had thousands of rapturous supporters of the PPP, also of Nawaz Sharif's party. Maryam Nawaz was there on stage. Fazlur Rahman was again there on stage. And then you had the Baloch leaders. You had like Akhtar Mengal. You had the Pashtun leaders, Mohsin Dawar. And what was fascinating about it was, I mean, I watched it live on YouTube, but a lot of friends of mine in Pakistan said that the TV channels were censored, which means that they were not able to broadcast the statements by a lot of leaders, especially the Pashtun leaders like Mohsin Dawar, like Baloch leaders like Akhtar Jan Bengal. And guess why? Because the Pakistan Army does not want these leaders to tell the people of Pakistan the problems that they are facing in their own provinces. Mohsin Daver, for example, who is the leader of the Pashtun Tahafuz movement, has been undertaking these very, very peaceful and non-violent protests, almost like a latter-day incarnation of Khan Abdul Ghaffar Khan, and they're approximately from the same area in Pakhtunistan around Peshawar. But the army has just not blocked these protests, these sit-ins, has not allowed them to have these protests. But a lot of people have gone missing. And this missing persons, these disappeared people, is a very, very sore subject and a very unhappy subject, as you can well imagine. And it's just not in Balochistan or in Pakhtun, in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, which is a province, but elsewhere in the country too, people talk about this and they wonder, where have these people gone? So here was this PDM movement, the Pakistan Democratic Movement, this coalition, this umbrella coalition of opposition parties coming together in Gujranwala and then in Karachi over the last few days. In the coming weeks and months, the PDM has promised to hold rallies in Quetta, in Multan, and the last one in Lahore in mid-December, hoping to keep up the momentum of this opposition, if you like, against the Imran Khan government. Now, what is it that the Pakistan opposition wants? After all, elections in Pakistan are 3 years away. They were last held in 2018, so that's three more years. So you would wonder, why is it that they're holding their rallies today? Isn't it a bit early for that, that they should hold them much closer to the election? And again, I would agree with you. But as I explained to you a little bit earlier, the Pakistani economy is in really poor shape. People are not just out of jobs because of the COVID lockdown, but the COVID has exacerbated the terrible, the chaotic nature of the Pakistani economy today. The opposition parties perhaps thought that this is a good time to talk about these issues, to confront the demons within. So in a sense, to ask, why is it that when India and Pakistan were partitioned, separated at birth in 1947, one became an independent country, a democratic country, which had elections every 5 years, a secular nation, and the other, Pakistan, became a country which was ruled by the army. In fact, more than half its existence, the Pakistan army has ruled this country. So these Siamese twins, if you like, the two nations were once together about 73, 74 years ago, and now such different entities. So I would argue, dear viewer, that it's time that all of us shed our anger, if you like, because anger is a terrible ingredient if you want to study something, if you want to learn about something. Anger always clouds your judgment. So look at Pakistan dispassionately. Look at what its opposition is trying to do. It's trying to tell us that the Pakistan army, which is the root of all evil, if you like, is the one that has stunted its development, has not allowed its democracy to grow. And that is one of the reasons why the India-Pakistan relationship is so bad. Because each time around, it's the army that has wanted to go to war with India. Whether it was immediately after independence in 1948, at the time, the so-called Kashmiri guerrillas that came into to India and wanted to fight the Kashmiris in India, they were Pakistani soldiers in wearing civilian clothes. Similarly, then you have the war in 1965 and 1971, of course, when one part of Pakistan breaks away and becomes Bangladesh, Kargil in 1999, and the continuation of this proxy war. All of it to be laid at the door of the Pakistani generals. This is what the Pakistani civilian leaders want us to know, want to tell us, that this very bitter, this deeply embittered relationship between India and Pakistan is the fault, not of them and not of the people, but of the generals. So let's hear the people of Pakistan, let's watch them, and let's follow this democratic movement. Let's see how long it lasts, whether it's able to gather momentum, whether more and more people join it, and what other countries like India, like the US, like Afghanistan, what do they think of this? So write in and tell us what you think, dear viewer, about this episode and about several other videos and stories that we bring to you. But before that, don't forget to subscribe to The Print and tell us what you think. Thank you so much for watching.